Do you know some churches only celebrate the Lord's Supper every now and then, at some special occasion? There's some churches who will do it once a month. Now, I'm not getting into other people's business, but I just want to ask you, how often do you celebrate the Lord's Supper?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In last week's message, Pastor Grant showed how the structure of the temple in Jerusalem shows the stark and utter reality of separation and exclusion of sinful men from the holy presence of God. This week, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27 and verse 45, as Pastor Grant concludes his message, A Day to Remember, with the word of joy. Something happened in the temple on the day that Jesus died that showed how everything had forever changed. Pastor Grant.
In Matthew 26, Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover. The Passover is the celebration of how God delivered the Jews from slavery. One of the most important aspects of the Passover was that the Lord, that God said, listen, this was when they were being delivered from slavery. And God told them, the Jews were to slay a lamb. Because remember, he said the final judgment was that he was going to kill the firstborn of everybody in the land of Egypt. And he said, here is what you do. You slay a lamb and you take the blood of the lamb and you paint it on the doorpost of your home and across the sides of the door, the sides on the top. And he says, God says, tonight there's going to be a destroying angel that's going to come through. And he says, when any house that has the blood on it, he says, I will pass over. When I see the blood, I will pass over. What an incredibly powerful message. Because the way that we are saved is because of the blood. Not the blood of a lamb, but the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous Lamb. When God sees the blood of Jesus applied by faith to our hearts, listen, there is therefore no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. But this was the Passover. And it was Jesus' last Passover on earth. But this was going to be a different type of Passover. It would prove to be a day to remember. And as Jesus dined, he took two common ingredients of the Passover and he instituted an ordinance. The church has two ordinances. That ought to tell you that this is important stuff. There are two ordinances. One is the Lord's Supper and the other is baptism. We were going to talk more, so explain what that's all about. But baptism, if you're saved and you have not been baptized, this ought to let you know this is something very important. Two ordinances. The other one is the Lord's Supper. And Jesus, and this Passover day, institutes this ordinance to help us remember that Jesus solved our sin problem. Amen. Jesus solved our sin problem. Jesus first took the bread and he indicated it stood for his body, which was going to be broken on the cross for their sins. He then took the cup and he indicated it stood for his blood, which would be poured out on the cross of Calvary for our sin. His death and the shedding of his blood would pay the penalty of our sin. Stop a minute. Why was it that God blocked us from access to him? You remember what I said it was? It was a three-letter word beginning with S. It was sin. The reason God blocked us was because of sin. A holy God would not allow sinful man to just come on in. Sin blocked us. And Jesus was signifying the thing that has blocked us from God, I am going to solve. Listen, God was about to tear down some walls. Many of us still remember President Reagan. I don't know if you remember, you were old enough. Some of you weren't old enough to remember. But President Reagan went to visit Berlin in 1987. And as he stood on the West Berlin side and he looked at the Berlin Wall, any of you remember what he said? He says, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And as Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, he was serving notice that God was about to tear down some walls. Listen, the drama of when the Berlin Wall was torn down cannot compare to the drama that would happen the very next day, because the very next day, Jesus was going to tear down some walls. You see, we had shouted through our representatives, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And you better believe it, you were there. You see, I wasn't born. You were very much there. You were representative, because if you were there, you'd have said the same thing. "We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him. Crucify him." While I was shouting and carrying on, Jesus was saying to his Father, "Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do." What? This is a day to remember. Amen? That was a day to remember. A day when the Son of God was hanging on the tree. A day when he was hanging on the tree because of your sin and because of my sin. Not because he had done anything, but because Jesus was going to tear down those walls so that you and I can have access to the presence of the most holy God. So listen, jump to Matthew 27, verse 45 to 51. Matthew 27, 45 to 51. "From the sixth hour unto the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land." I'm in Matthew 27, I'm reading verse number 46. "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, has been forsaken of his Father because he is going to be tearing down the walls that blocks my access to God. Jesus is going to solve the sin problem. And so when some of those were standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." No, he was not. Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with vinegar, and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. What does your Bible say? At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom up. Torn by the hand of God, torn from the top to the bottom, as Jesus gave up the ghost, as Jesus died for my sin. The barrier number one was gone. Barrier number two was gone. There was absolutely nothing blocking me from having access to God once I was willing to take advantage of the sacrifice that Jesus paid for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank God, the veil in the temple was torn down. What a day. God broke down the walls. This was indeed a day to remember. Are you thanking God for that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins? And Jesus in Matthew's Gospel chapter 26 in our text, in verse number 28 of our text, Jesus, he says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Thank God. Oh, thank God for what type of covenant? The new covenant. You see, the old covenant, we read about that old covenant in Ephesians, right? Under that old covenant, we were outside. We were strangers to everything, but not under the new covenant. Under the new covenant, we have access. Amen. The old covenant did not help us Gentiles, but thank God for the new covenant. And number, we now have access to the most holy place. Let's look at a verse here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 20. And I think you should have that available. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. And here's what the Word of God says. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter what? To enter what? No, somebody's saying the holy place. That's not what my Bible says. I wonder if you see the significance. What did we say earlier? Could we get into this place? Who lives here? Who dwells in this place? Were you blocked out? You had a double wall. But here, thank God, it says we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. That is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience." Oh, listen, if you're under the blood, don't let your conscience kill you about what you did 25 years ago before you came to Jesus, or 10 years before you come to Jesus. If you're under the blood, thank God, this blood has cleansed us from a guilty conscience. Are you happy about that? That your mess is covered? My mess is covered. Having our bodies washed with pure water, and I can only say hallelujah for the blood. The walls are gone. So how should we use this new access? And I don't have time, and I didn't intend to develop everyone, but I am going to develop one first point. How should we use this new access? Number one, to worship God. I don't want you to miss this. Of everything I've said, this is perhaps the most important, and I don't want you to miss it. We have to use this new access to worship God. There is a lot of confusion about what worship is. And so I've actually taken the time to coin a definition of worship for you. Because there's so much confusion. So many people think worship is what I get. Oh, I didn't like the worship today. I wasn't getting anything out of it. I didn't like the music. I don't like the music there. Somehow, we have made worship to be what we get. Listen to what. Worship is our response. Are you there? It's right there in your notes, and it should be on the board. Worship is our response to a gracious God in which, don't miss this, in which recognizing His majesty, His holiness, and His love revealed in the redemptive work of Christ, we seek by the power of the Holy Spirit to render to Him what? The glory, the honor, and please don't forget the last part. We seek to render to Him the submission which are His due. You cannot worship God the way He desires if you miss that worship is about Him. The first occurrence of worship in the Bible is Genesis 22. And it's important. First references in the Bible are always very instructive. And in Genesis 22, we find Abram about to offer his son Isaac. And I think if we had the time to stop and ask questions this morning, I think you would all agree with me. There was nothing in it for Abraham. Amen? Abraham was about to give his very best. From Abraham's standpoint, it was all about obeying God. I want to suggest to you the day those walls were broken down is a day worth remembering. Amen. And the breaking of bread is a remembrance of the day the walls were torn down. It's a remembrance of the day the walls were torn down and of the person who tore them down. Churches, including GCA, we have designed all sorts of services supposedly for worship. But when we gather, listen to me carefully. When we gather at the Lord's Supper, we know We are worshiping at the service He instituted. Never miss that. All these others, it's our creation. The Lord's Supper is His creation. He instituted this feast. And He says to you and to me, those of us who are blood bought, washed in the blood of the Lamb, He says, this do in remembrance of me. And that's why at GCA we believe there is no other service as ideally suited for true worship as the breaking of bread. And that's why at this church we do it. You may not know it as a visitor. This church we do breaking of bread every single week because this service is designed only to remember the Lord Jesus who tore down the walls.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of the complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as four Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550. Now, let's rejoin Pastor Grant as he concludes today's message.
Sadly, more and more Christians have no time for the Lord's Supper. You know, some churches, this is a fact, you know, some churches never celebrate the Lord's Supper. Do you know that? Do you know some churches only celebrate the Lord's Supper every now and then at some special occasion? There are some churches who will do it once a month. Now, I'm not getting into other people's business, but I just want to ask you, how often do you celebrate the Lord's Supper? God tore down the wall. And He says, this do, this. Do you understand what this means? This. As He institutes this ordinance of the church, He says, this is what, you want to worship me? This is what I want you to do. Oh, you mightn't get anything out of it. But He says, I'm getting out of it. I am getting. Might I say this to you, after you do it a while, you find all sort of drops of blessing falling on you. Oh, the focus is not about you. The focus is about Him and worshiping Him. This was the Lord's request. Did He ask too much? Come on now. GCA. Did He ask too much? The Germans are still excited about the wall being gone. You know, Cheryl and I were in Germany last year, and they took us to a section where they left a little piece of the wall in place so that we could remember. And you could just still sense the thrill that the wall is gone. They can move around freely. I'm so glad the walls are gone. Are you? I am glad the walls are gone. I'm going to challenge you soon to make a commitment to God. God, I can do better. God, I can do better. In light of the fact that You have torn down the walls, I can do better in terms of worshiping You. The only way You instituted. But second, how should we use this access? And I'll just say to you passing, I can use it to develop an intimate relationship with God. And I tell you, if you are a new Christian, I don't want you to miss this. Because I think sometimes we have sold what God has done short. And we think it's all about getting to heaven. Oh, I need to get saved because I want to get a ticket to heaven. It's great to have a ticket to heaven. But listen, Don't miss the symbolism. The wall is gone. God is trying to give you a picture lesson. The wall is gone. And he's telling you, he says, come boldly. He says, come on in. You have the opportunity to enter into the most holy place. God is saying, you can come on into exactly where I am. Listen. God is saying, you and I can have an intimate relationship with him, with the God of the universe. Listen, let us seek by his grace to keep developing, and it never ever ends, you know, to develop an intimate relationship with God. But number three, how do I use this new access? I use it to obtain God's help. Hebrews 4:15-16, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace. Boy, I tell you, this is a message right there by itself waiting to be preached right there. You're here and need some help. You're here and struggling with some stuff. Jesus, the wall is gone. And he's saying, because the wall is gone, he says, come on in. You have a high priest. He says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. You're struggling. Come on in with confidence. Oh, I could preach on that for a little while, but I better leave it alone. Fourth, how do I use this access to receive his salvation? You know, I don't believe that there are any Germans. I'm sure there are none. I'm sure there are no East Germans who are still pretending like the wall is not down. Can you imagine you're in East Germany and there's no jobs over there, but there's jobs in West Germany, and you say, well, the wall is gone. And you're acting like the wall. No, you're going to seize that job, aren't you? You say, Brother Brian, what are you saying? Do you know that Jesus has done everything to give you access to God? But there's some people here today who still have no access. You say, Brother Brian, how do you mean? Remember what was the blockage? What was the blockage? The blockage was sin. The blockage was sin. Listen, although God has knocked down the wall, you don't benefit from the wall being knocked down until your sin problem has been dealt with. You say, Brother Brian, how do I solve that? I close with the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. We could stop one of the kids and ask them, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only beloved son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you hear it? Did you hear your name there? It says this: whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, listen. Do you know it's as simple as responding to that by saying, God, I thank you, Jesus died for my sin. Today, I'm willing to believe. Today, I'm willing to receive him as my Savior. If you do that, God saves you right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.